content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 27th through Sunday, April 2nd. The commentary for the month of March was written by Rob Gielsman, an Episcopal priest currently serving St. Stephen's, Belvedere, California, and a writer also educated in law and economics. The April reflections were written by Kim Becker, a priest and poet of Euro and Cherokee descent, who serves in North Dakota. She is a former hospice and ICU trauma chaplain and is trained as a racial healer. The commentary for Monday, March 27th, begins as follows from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 1. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. I was in the Cow Hollow area of San Francisco a few years back with my son. We had eaten at a lovely restaurant and were headed to the car. We passed a man living on a particular street corner in front of a pharmacy. After passing him and crossing the street, I stopped, turned, and returned to him, not to give him a handout, but to talk with him. With him, not at him. We shared stories, and I learned that we graduated from high school within a year of each other, and that he had lived on the streets most of his years since then. This corner was now his real estate, he told me. Later, upon reflection, I realized that the best I'd ever done was donate a dollar or two here and there to the hundreds of men and women I had passed on the streets over the years. I had never conversed, not really. I'd usually just shrug my shoulders, feel helpless, and walk on past. As he walked along, Jesus truly saw a man who could not see. I wonder how many people had passed this man and had never seen him, never shared stories with him. Like Jesus, we are invited to see each person and each encounter. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of the Gospel for today. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, or he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The moving forward question for this day is, how can you work to truly see others? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, March 28th. It begins with a passage from the Epistle of Romans, chapter 10, verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." I ran a red light once. Well, more than once, but on this one particular day, I had not noticed the no turn on red sign next to the light, and the police officer across the way had been waiting for a dupe like me. "Officer, there are people speeding recklessly on the interstate," I argued as cars sped along, going way faster than 80 miles per hour. The officer was unswayed and wrote me an expensive ticket anyway. "Christ is the end of the law," Paul writes, "but that does not mean that I can run all the red lights. The Ten Commandments are not mere suggestions." On the other hand, Paul is not advocating full observance of Moses' 613 laws. I don't need to join a local stoning club. While many laws help us to love one another, pray for your enemies, for instance, Paul reminds the Romans that Jesus as the Christ has lifted us to a higher plane, one on which the primary law is love. We live by love because we have experienced this amazing God who loved us first. And now I'm going to read from the full passage here from Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I can testify that they have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they have not submitted to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, 'No one who believes in him will be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the moving forward question for this day is, are some laws okay to break? The commentary for Wednesday, March 29th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." At historic St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Chestertown, Maryland, where I served years back, someone installed an oversized window with an image of Jesus carrying a sheep around his neck. I never liked that window. It did not fit the space stylistically, historically, or size-wise. But also, I never been a fan of the passive image of Jesus as Good Shepherd. That was the case until I visited the sheep ranch of close friends. They invited me to watch the annual sheep branding, which you will be relieved to know is by spray paint. The sheep also receive oral inoculations for various diseases. The shepherds funneled the sheep from a holding pen through chutes. But because sheep are antsy, the shepherd sometimes must wrestle a few. The sheep will fight and buck and wriggle and strain. The passive sheep around Jesus' shoulders has surrendered, given himself over to a shepherd that he trusts, will lead and guide and even carry him when necessary. Now I'm going to read this full passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, March 29th, have you surrendered, or do you still fight and buck and wiggle? The commentary for Thursday, March 30th, begins with a passage from the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 26, verse 2. "Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord. Speak to them all the words that I command you. Do not hold back a word." Early in my life of faith, when I was still a teenager, I started praying these words, "Lord, make me honest with you and honest with myself." I do not recall why I started praying them, though perhaps intuitively I felt my own propensity to obfuscate, to hide like Adam in the garden. Over the years, I have applied that prayer not only regarding my wrongs, but also to my life in general. The Lord God is telling Jeremiah to speak truth, all the words. As a priest, I understand, though don't always like, the fact that preaching requires me to speak truth, often uncomfortable truths, but always with love, which, like sugar, as Mary Poppins would say, helps uncomfortable truth go down. Accepting the truth about ourselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is at the heart of humility. This is not about self-abasement, but rather honoring God's word in our lives. Now I'm going to read this full passage from Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. At the beginning of the reign of King Jehoiakim, son of Josiah of Judah, this word came from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord. Speak to them all the words that I command you. Do not hold back a word. It may be that they will listen, all of them, and will turn from their evil way, that I may change my mind about the disaster that I intend to bring on them because of their evil doings. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law that I have set before you, and to heed the words of my servants, the prophets whom I sent you urgently, though you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city for a curse for all the nations of the earth. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate, without inhabitant? And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord, and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, this man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, it is the Lord who sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will change his mind about the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, here I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will be bringing innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and to the prophets, this man does not deserve the sentence of death, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. And the moving forward question for this day is, what truth is God telling you today? The commentary for Friday, March 31st, begins with a passage from John chapter 12, verse 3. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. When I cook Irish stew, my house is filled with the fragrance of garlic and onions and good beef stewing for hours with fresh veggies. Especially during winter, I like to cook for friends. Before a cozy fire in the fireplace, we sit in my small living room and tell stories of our days. Mary fills the house with the fragrance of the perfume. She anoints Jesus' feet with pure nard. 5 nights later, Jesus himself rises from the table, dons a towel, and washes the disciples' feet. Mary looks at Jesus' feet and humbles herself before her Lord, offering love and service. Jesus himself does the same thing with his disciples, kneeling before them, giving them this precious gift of humble service. Little do they know that this offering is a foretaste of the sacrifice on the cross, a reminder to us to offer love and humble service to all that we encounter. And now I'll read the full gospel passage here of chapter 12 from the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 10. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well. And the moving forward question for this Friday, consider attending a Maundy Thursday service that includes foot washing. The intimacy of such a service can be a profound experience. The commentary for Saturday, April 1st, begins with a passage from Romans 11, verse 29, "For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." As a word nerd, I notice the Greek word for irrevocable occurs only once in the New Testament. A variation appears in 2 Corinthians, meaning without regret. French author Gustave Flaubert sought le mot juste, the right word. As poet and teacher, I strive for the same. However, only God's word is right and irrevocable, as are God's gifts and calling. Each of us, created in God's image, has spiritual gifts. We can hide our light under a bushel or pretend we don't hear God's call, but claiming our unique spiritual gifts helps us discern our calling. After I got COVID-19, lost my job, and was out of work for a year, I received a call to move from the mountains of the southeast to the plains of North Dakota. Since this was so far away from my home, I kept asking God, "Are you sure?" My call has been challenging, but it has brought much joy, and I have been able to use my gifts, especially in securing a grant for creation care and environmental reparations for one of the native congregations that I serve. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Romans here. This is from chapter 11, verses 25 to 36. "So that you may not claim to be wiser than you are, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this mystery. A hardening has come upon part of Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, out of Zion will come the Deliverer. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their ancestors. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And the moving forward question for this day, what gifts from God can you use to love and serve? And we conclude the program for this week with a commentary for Sunday, April 2nd, the Sunday of the Passion, Palm Sunday. We begin with a passage from Isaiah 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Let's face it, many of us, clergy and lay, will be weary by the time we get through Holy Week. The services of this week, starting with Palm Sunday, require much preparation. And if I'm honest, I'm guilty of having felt smug when I pull it off. As a new priest especially, I was guilty of having looked down my nose at those who would skip Holy Week but show up on Easter. Now that I'm 22 years old into my ordination as a priest, 22 years into my ordination as a priest, I have a lot more compassion for myself, for busy altar guilds and choirs, and for those who just show up on Easter. Being a former thespian, I love the drama of Palm Sunday that sets us off on our journey toward Jerusalem. But I also try to remember to sustain my weary self with God's word, and to try to sustain others who are weary with the word of encouragement. Jesus must have been wearied by the time he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The whiplash of Hosanna to crucify can weary us in our liturgy. We are all in need of the Lord's sustaining word. And now a reading from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. And the moving forward question for this Palm Sunday is a statement, really. Offer words of encouragement to everyone this week. And that's all the time we have for this week. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me again for a new program next week. Goodbye until next time.